Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We come to celebrate the gift of this day. Thanks be to God. Again, good morning and welcome to worship here at West End. As we continue our observance of Lent, we're pleased that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending, welcome. Those of us who are here week in and week out would like to seek you out and to greet you, shake your hand, and if we don't get to you quickly enough, you introduce yourselves to us. We do want to meet you, and we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you will make a home here with us. One way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You'll find lots of opportunities in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up a few. First of all, our Lenten concerts continue this Thursday at noon. The concert is about a half hour. There's lunch following, so you can get back to work fairly quickly if you need to do that. Please sign up for lunch by Wednesday. You can call the church and do that and let us know you're coming. Also, the great day of service is this Saturday. Sign-ups are in Reed Hall. You'll be hearing more about that later in the service. Many of you are already involved in serving in a variety of places elsewhere, but this is a time when we hope to get as many of us as possible within the congregation involved in serving God by serving others. Also, next Sunday is Palm Passion Sunday, and the following Sunday will be Easter. Let me encourage those of you who are able to do so to park in the Caterpillar parking garage. It's available to us every Sunday, but especially on those Sundays, if you're a regular and if you are able to walk over, it's not that far. It allows the parking nearest the church to be for those who may not be able to walk that far or who may be guests and not know to park there. So let me encourage you to do that for the next couple of Sundays. Don't forget our Holy Week service is coming up. You can read all about that in your bulletin insert. Also, our promise for Haiti offering during Lent. We are supporting nurses in the hospital in Pignon in Haiti. And this is a ministry that's gone on for 30-plus years. $7,000 will support a nurse for a year. So if we get 14, we support two. 21, we support three, and so on. So I hope you'll take part in this effort for us to continue that ministry of health care. Also, there is a beautiful big purple board out here where, and some stick pins where you can show us where you are already serving. Where is your light already shining? If you haven't done that, stop in Reed Hall after the service and show us where is the love of God shining through you and the light of God shining through you already. It'd be interesting for us to see how many stick pins are in each of those areas. Do you know anything by heart? Maybe the Lord's Prayer. Maybe the 23rd Psalm. Maybe a poem or two. It's wonderful, isn't it? You don't even have to have light. You can just say it wherever you are. Well, the good news is the words of God's love are written on your heart, and they can never be erased. Thank you.
We gather this day as God's people to celebrate God's wisdom in words written on our hearts.
May we always keep God's presence close to our hearts.
We gather to praise God for the grace and mercy offered without price.
May we make God's grace and mercy a part of our everyday life.
We gather together to worship and thank our very loving God. God's love endures throughout the ages and guides us on life's journey. We, on the other hand, are not quite as consistent. So let us confess how we often fail to love others the way God loves us. Holy God of love and compassion, we continue to make our way through the life and journey. Your prophet reminded us, people, that there would come a time when your covenant would be written not on stone tablets, but on our hearts. We whom Christ has touched far too easily forget that your covenant has been written in us. We stay far too busy conforming to what our culture calls us to be and forget what you have called us to be. Forgive us, remind us, and empower us to be actively aware of your grace in our lives and in our hearts as we gather this day in worship. Forgive us and help us to treat others with grace, to love extravagantly, and forgive generously. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. God's love endures forever and is written on our hearts. Slow down, focus on this amazing gift, and be forgiven. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Jeremy Robert Jenkins and Nicole Schneider Jenkins bring their son, Charles Robert Jenkins, Charlie, to God before the community of faith for baptism. And we'll do the baptism right after the choir celebrates with the anthem.
Thank you.
baptism is still one of the greatest joys of the church. The Jenkins want to bring Charlie up.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation. Given new birth through water and the Spirit, all this is God's gift offered to us without price. So I ask you, Nikki and Jeremy, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves to you? Do you confess Jesus as your Christ and Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child into Christ's holy church, that by your teaching he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, both reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do. Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the ways that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through water and the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in his baptism of death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin, clothe him in righteousness, throughout his life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Charles Robert. Charles Robert, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Put your hands on him. Charles Robert, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born of water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Will the congregation please stand and face Charles Robert? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Charles Robert to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. Let us pray together our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if there are any other youngsters who would care to come down and join us, you're welcome to do so. If you'd like to bring a parent, that's okay too. Perfectly all right. Come on down and join us. Sit with us. Can you find the spot? Yeah, just anywhere is fine. Do you know what it means if I say I know something by heart? It means I don't have to read it. I have said it so many times that I can say it without reading it. Now, I bet you already know some things by heart. Maybe a blessing before a meal. You don't have to read it. You know it, right? I grew up saying the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, just the way we do here. And sometimes people know the Lord's Prayer by heart without ever practicing it at home. They've just said it so many times they know it and they don't need a book anymore. For some of us, that's true of the 23rd Psalm or certain poems. Anything you learn by heart is something you carry inside you. And if you carry it inside you, that means nobody can take it away from you. It also means that you don't have to have the lights on in order to say the Lord's Prayer or the 23rd Psalm. You can do it in the dark as you're going to sleep. You can do it if you're alone or if you're with a group of people like we are today. If you know something by heart, you carry it with you inside you. Now, you just heard Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, say that God has written on our hearts words of love for us, written on our hearts. Now, obviously, God didn't take your heart out and write on it. No, it means we know it by heart, like we know the Lord's Prayer, like we know the 23rd Psalm, and we carry those words around with us wherever we go. And it doesn't matter if you're by yourself or with a group. It doesn't matter if it's daylight or dark. You know that the love of God is with you, because that love has been written on your heart. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about that, but as I talk about that, you'll know what I'm talking about, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for writing your words of love on our hearts. Help us to show that love to others so that they might know that you've also written words of love on their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. Well, finally a word of hope. It's about time, don't you think? I mean, after Amos, who was about as bleak as you could get, right? You got the covenant, you broke the covenant, you're done. That's pretty much Amos's message. Maybe just a glimmer somewhere off in the distance of some bleak hope out there. But now we have Jeremiah. And the passage you heard is taken from a portion of Jeremiah that's often referred to as the book of comfort or the book of consolation. What Amos had talked about had come to pass. Both the northern and the southern kingdoms had broken the covenant. The northern kingdom, Israel, fell first, and then the southern kingdom, Judah. By this time, they're both in exile. They had lost everything. They had lost their land. They had lost the one place in the world that they could truly worship, the place where they could offer sacrifice, the place where the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies once each year. That was gone to them. They had lost their identity. The only thing they had left were those few practices that you read about, say, in the book of Daniel. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Those practices that were continued to try to hold on to the shreds of an identity that was left. Daniel and his friends ate only vegetables in an attempt to keep kosher. And into that context, Jeremiah speaks a word of hope. I'm making with you a new covenant. It won't be like the old covenant. Remember the old covenant? The old covenant was written on stones. In fact, twice, because Moses broke the stones once and they had to be written again. The old covenant could be kept in a box called the Ark of the Covenant. But those were gone too. Taken. Gone. So God is making a new covenant, and this time it's a covenant that you can't lose. If it's written on stone, you can lose it. If it's kept in a box, you can lose it. But this one is going to be written on our hearts. And you can't lose it. It will be there forever, always. To write on the heart, to hold in memory, to be able to not simply read God's covenant on pieces of rock, but to embody and live God's covenant out in the world. We, with God's love written on our hearts, are signs of God's love in the world. We are the replacements for the stone tablets. We are the documents of God that you can't keep in a box. And whenever we step out and serve others, that's exactly what we're doing. We're reflecting that love of God for others. We say here that we are called to be the loving light of Christ. That's what we're doing as we serve. Now, all through Lent, we've been focusing on a theme from Micah. Do justice, which of course means everyone will have what they need. Everyone will have enough. You've probably gotten that idea by now. I've repeated it often enough. To act with kindness, to enact mercy. And that's what we do when we serve. We take that word of God written on our hearts and we translate it into actions of kindness, actions of mercy. And it doesn't really matter what those actions are. This coming Saturday, you'll be able to bag potatoes. You'll be able to go to an Alzheimer's unit. You'll be able to put books in order. It doesn't necessarily matter what the helpful activity is. It is that it is an expression of the kindness of God that has been written on our hearts. That's what's important. We become signs of that mercy, of that kindness. Now, you'll hear more a little later about some of the opportunities for this coming Saturday and ways that those can be transformative. Because we say we're connecting and transforming. Well, we don't do the transforming. God does the transforming. But we sure are supposed to be doing the connecting. So this new covenant is something we carry with us. It is something we embody. And it is something that leads to that last portion of the passage where God says, I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. What a striking thing to say. These people had messed up big time. Anybody here identify with that? I can. They had lived with the consequences of messing up big time. They had lost literally everything. And now God is saying, I'm going to make a new agreement with you. It's one you can't lose. It's one you can't lose because it's written on your heart. As we studied this on Tuesday, one of the students reminded me of a rabbinic story, which I dearly love. A student comes to a rabbi and says, Why does God say, I have written my word on your heart, not in your heart? And the rabbi said, well, it's because God writes the word on your heart, and then when your heart breaks, the word falls in. Isn't that the way it works? I don't know about you, but when things are going fine and I seem to be in control and everything's going my way, I might take a little time out for God, but you let things go haywire and I feel out of control. And guess what? When my heart breaks, I'm open to that presence of God in a way that I am not at other times. You see, when your heart breaks, the words of love that God has written on them fall in. I love to listen to a podcast called On Being. You may know it. It's on NPR. The host is Krista Tippett. This is a favorite of Nancy's, too. We both enjoy this a lot. About 5 or 6 years ago, she was interviewing a psychologist, a fellow named Alan Dienstag. And as he began his graduate study, he began to work with older adult populations. And as part of his work with older adult populations, he began to work with people who were in the beginning stages of dementia, specifically Alzheimer's. And as he worked with these folks and their families, he began to have a greater respect for how memory functions and sometimes how we lose that memory. A writer, Don DeLillo, came to him and suggested that perhaps he should have writing groups for people with Alzheimer's. And he thought that was the craziest idea of all. These folks couldn't even remember the stories they wanted to tell, or perhaps they simply had a tape loop of stories they told over and over again. How would writing help? What he found was that sometimes they wrote stories they could not remember. They wrote stories they could not speak aloud. And it was a halting process, often marking out words, going back and rewriting pieces, but some of them came out as beautiful as the most beautiful poetry you'll ever read. He quoted one of them. He said, one of the women in the writing group wrote with a lot of mark-throughs and a lot of corrections. She wrote, "I remember the taste of a fig I ate in Athens, while my lover watched me with delight." Is that not an amazing story in and of itself in one sentence? But she did not remember that until she had written it out. It had somehow been written on her heart, but there was a block in there that didn't allow it to get out until Alan decided he would take the crazy advice of some crazy writer and have writing groups for people who couldn't even remember their stories. A little bit later in the interview, he tells the story of a woman who came to him very distressed because her husband, whose Alzheimer's was progressing, had reached a point that he did not recognize her anymore. And I understand some of this distress. My mother had Alzheimer's, and though she died before she reached the point she couldn't recognize us when we were in her physical presence, there were times when she could look at photographs of her brothers or of her grandchildren and not know who they were. She would go into the room and she would say, "Do you know who I am?" and get this vacant look, emptiness behind the eyes. And Alan, as a good counseling psychologist, said, "You know, maybe you should back off on asking the question. Just go in the room, sit down, and be with him. Allow him to be with you." But she couldn't do that. She was so distressed. And one day, he said, she went into the room, and she said, "Do you know who I am?" And she got that vacant look, the emptiness in the eyes. And he said to her, "I don't know who you are. I just know that I love you." Isn't that what Jeremiah is saying in this last portion? When we come before God with our sorrow literally dripping from our eyes, with our hands full of regret, with our hearts full of repentance over the things that we've done and not done, the way we've been greedy, the way we've neglected those who needed our help, and we come in and we start describing to God all of our failures and how brokenhearted we are over them. And I have this image of God saying, "Wait a minute, are you sure that was you? I don't remember that. I don't remember that person you're describing. I just know that I love you. I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." What a powerful word. What a word for all of us who come brokenhearted with the words of God's love pouring into our hearts, helping us know how far we've fallen short of that love. And yet, knowing that the person that we would reject is the person God doesn't even remember. God just remembers that love, that covenant that was written on our hearts long ago, that can never, ever be erased. Thanks be to God. Most of us need reminders, though, and one way to remind ourselves of that covenant is through affirmations and creeds. So I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 886 in your hymnal and respond in the bold print. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come, as it is in heaven.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who join us for worship this morning. We're so glad to have you here. If you are a first-time guest, we invite you to join us through the doors to your right, enter Reed Hall, and stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you can receive a small loaf of bread and more information about what's going on in the church. Also, don't forget you can sign up for the Great Day of Service. If you're a college student, we have lunch in room 322. You're going to go up one flight of stairs and follow your nose to the food, and we'll have a time of fellowship together. I invite you to take a moment to record your attendance. You'll find a pad near the center aisle. You can write on it, pass it down, and note who you're worshiping with to say hello to them. In the pew rack, you'll also find a gray card. One side is for staff comments for lay leadership comments, and then the other side you can put prayer requests. We will lift you up in prayer throughout the week. And please place those in the offering plates as they come by. Prepare us now to speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. God of covenant, you have written your love on our hearts and called us your own, just as we call you our God. Have compassion on our brokenness and need. Remind us in each moment's encounters that you have written your love on our very beings. We want to see this covenant of love at work in our world, proclaiming the good news for people of all nations, ages, and races. We all have an equal part to play in establishing God's realm on this fragile and threatened planet. We want to see this covenant of love at work among the suffering, showing compassion to the forgotten and the downtrodden, speaking out for those challenged mentally and physically, standing beside those who are in pain, feeling their agony, and making sure they receive relief. We want to see this covenant of love at work in our church. We accept our baptism vows and membership into the body of Christ. May we be guided by your Spirit and led into the way of truth. We want to see this covenant of love at work in each one of us, calling us to the place of forgiveness and reconciliation, guiding us to know when, where, and how to speak and act for God's justice. God of Covenant, you have written your love on our hearts and called us your own, just as we call you our God. And now let us pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the offering of our time, our talents, and our treasures. May God's gift be used with wisdom and work in justice in the church and throughout the world.
as those being presented for membership make their way to the front, we have a great group joining us this morning. Well, I'll begin by introducing you to Allison. Allison Hanlon is a student at Vanderbilt in a PhD program in biostatistics. So if you want to sit around and talk stats, she'll be in Reed Hall after the service. She is joining us from another denomination. She's very active in the New Room Sunday School class. It's a young adult class that meets in room 401 if anybody wants to hang out with Allison. Next, I introduce you to Mary Hook and her husband, Robert Hines. Mary's a physician. She's a surgeon, but now she's an educator over at Vanderbilt Medical School. And Robert is a retired neurosurgeon and engineer. Great combination. They're coming from the United Methodist Church, who's transferring their membership here. And next, we have David Mansouri. David is the executive vice president of SCORE, which is State Collaborative on Reforming Education. He's transferring into West End from another Protestant tradition as well, so we're honored to have you here. Okay, if y'all will turn and face me. The first question is for Allison and David, who are coming from a different tradition. As members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. Great. And now this question is for everyone. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries, by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If you will, say, I will. Great, great. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters, do all in your power to welcome and integrate, assimilate our newest members and work to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
Give thanks for all that God has already given you, and welcome you in Christian love as members of West End United Methodist Church. As members together in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified in Jesus Christ.
Great. Welcome. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be true disciples all of our days.
There is one additional box in here that I am not going to step up on. Because I think that I can see all of y'all quite well, so hopefully you can see me. My name is Doug Doss, and I just wanted to take a few minutes to visit with y'all about the great day of service, which is coming up next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and we'll be finishing up around noon. I'm sure you've heard all of the announcements. You've seen the inserts to the bulletin talking about the opportunities that we have. We are bumping against spring break, and I'm sure that a lot of our church members are going to be traveling, so we could actually really use your help on this great day of service to make it a huge success. And today would be your last opportunity to sign up. You know, we all have preconceived notions about service projects and wonder possibly how to get involved, what happens once you get involved, what's the requirements, what type of work would you be doing. But I really believe that we're most effective when we just accept the agreement to serve. And really from there, just let God work through us and through the process, and everything will happen in its place. It was about 13 years ago. I was recently divorced, had a single dad now, and had two young daughters. I was focused on trying to find a church that had a welcoming outreach focus towards missions. that would accept us and assist me in raising my two young ladies. And let me tell you, it was an overwhelming task. Now, for the first several weeks that we visited, we sat on the back row for an easy escape, just in the event that somebody was going to try to approach us. And I'm not trying to call anybody out that may be on that back row, but that's just the reasons that we chose to sit there. I quickly realized the only way to find out more about the congregation was to scoot up into the masses and meet some of the people. Now, 13 years ago, the topic of the day was a service project called the Potato Drop. I'm sure many of you may remember when this took place. Funds were being raised to cover the shipping cost to bring these potatoes from Wisconsin, a farm in Wisconsin, to our church parking lot here in Nashville. The congregation was invited to have potato soup in the fellowship hall after church, and the donations were being raised to cover the shipping costs. I decided that if we volunteered to help with one of the luncheons, we'd probably have a better look at what the church body was actually all about. So we signed up, and we met so many wonderful people that we agreed to participate for the potato drop, sorting and bagging the potatoes on the day of the event. So we arrived on that Saturday to find an 18-wheeler full of potatoes in the parking lot. They were ready to be bagged and put on pallets. We had soup kitchens, homeless agencies, and shelters all coming later in the afternoon for pickup. The parking lot was full of activity. Workstations were set up. We had a forklift, luckily, to make the unloading process go a lot easier. At one point throughout the process of this project, I just stood back and observed the congregation doing what it does best, and that is serving the loving light of Christ. There was such a unique mix of people. There was multiple ethnicities. There was young. There was old. There was gay. There was straight. And I thought to myself, what a beautiful piece of fabric these people make coming together for this effort. Each volunteer was represented by a strand of thread being woven together. I was so impressed. The girls and I talked on the way home about the different people that we had met and the satisfaction that we felt having done good work. I knew then that West End was a safe place for us to worship and grow. My young ladies became involved with the children's area, helping with Sunday school, volunteering for Vacation Bible School. My youngest, Aaron, has worked for the preschool for several summers and still comes back from college to work on occasional Sundays. Megan, my oldest, graduated from college in May and has a position with a museum in Memphis with health care benefits. I'm such a proud dad. So all this to be said, I'm really not sure that we would have been here at this church if it wasn't for the willingness of the West End volunteers that rolled up their sleeves and served at that potato drop. I don't think any of them ever considered how they would be used in our lives by simply bagging potatoes on that Saturday 13 years ago. We have so many members that give of their time and serve. I'm truly blessed and inspired by what I see. So let me just take a moment to ask you, would you be willing to work with us next Saturday for a few hours? We have numerous opportunities that will allow all ages and abilities to serve. As a matter of fact, we have a pickup truck, not an 18-wheeler, a pickup truck full of sweet potatoes coming that we could use 15 volunteers to help get packed up and processed. So I'm heading back out to the sign-up table in Reed Hall. I hope that you'll stop by, sign up, and serve with us. You never know how God might use you. Thank you.
Save your life, O shepherd, lead us, Lord, sweetly by turn.
now go forth as a people upon whose heart God's love is written, to share that love with all you meet, serving God and your neighbor everywhere you go, in the knowledge that God, the source of all love, Jesus Christ, God's example of love walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow in Jesus' way, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.